Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dogface and Squid Show. It is a beautiful Tuesday night here on the East Coast of these United States. And that's right, we have to announce where we're at and what time it is because we have listeners in the UK. We have listeners in a couple of people in South Africa now. So we are worldwide, back and better than ever, ready to rock and roll. Glad you're joining us. And let me please bring on my co-host, Dogface. How are you this fine day there, dog?
Hello. Hello. Thank you for bringing me in. I appreciate that, Squid. Yeah, I can't believe that we have listeners all over the world. This is definitely catching on like I thought it would, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. Thanks, Squid.
Yeah, man. I saw that there was a couple downloads from the UK. I'd be nervous if they were listening live because it would be 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning there. And maybe they're just, typically people are getting hammered about that time, especially in Ireland or London. They're at the pub still. But I would imagine they downloaded. So if you're listening to this at a later time, thank you for downloading the Dogface and Squid Show. Please feel free to email us, or you can call us at any time at 561-221-2268. We are on the East Coast of these fine United States that Dogface and I have served to protect, and we are very proud of that. We are very proud of all of our men and women serving in our military, protecting our great country. I also want to thank our I want to bring in or at least thank our producer. She's a little shy. Her name is Cadence. She doesn't really like to come on live, if you haven't noticed. And our engineer, his name is Bob, and Bob sucks. I don't know what happened to the intro to the show, but it got a little whacked out. But to our audience, we use Blog Talk Radio, as I'm sure you're aware if you're listening live right now, because you are on the site. But Dogface and I are saving our pennies to step up to a
get a frequency actually on the radio, and that does cost money, of course. And we were discussing it earlier, and I think that would be best for the both of us, man, because then we could bring out both our talents as, you know, music, artists, things like that.
Yeah, well, the other thing is there are internet-based programs. I mean, iHeartRadio is internet-based, and I have a friend that does a show on iHeart, and it costs quite a few thousand dollars to get on board, but it's professionally produced, and you know, it's much more quality of a recording. But for right now, for what we're trying to do, we're lucky and blessed to have this to get our message out to help veterans and non-veterans alike with their struggle and recovery. Tonight we're going to talk about the importance of being kind to yourself, and as Dog and I like to do is we like to laugh about ourselves once in a while.
Of course. You know, it's so funny that we picked this topic. I swear to God, God works in mysterious ways. Talking about taking care of yourself, as you know, Squid, I'm a big supporter of miracle marijuana for vets. I've been through the gamut with pain pills, with the VA and stuff like that. So I am a huge supporter. I went out to move this weekend out in Wellington, and I actually went to high school with the manager there. So she gave us a little bit of swag from the store, which was kind of nice. And I just wanted to let them know, if they are listening, I'm sure they are, that I had a great time at their store this weekend, meeting Miss Lopez and meeting Stephanie. They were great, man. As soon as they knew I was a vet and they knew I was an advocate, they came out and definitely showed some love. And then I was also in Port St. Lucie, and I spoke to Richard at High Expectation. This guy has a wonderful smoke shop in Port St. Lucie. It's geared towards veterans. They give a great discount. And one thing that he does different is he has a money-back guarantee, and nobody else does this. Let me make this very clear. If you go to a dispensary, if you go to any other shops, they will not give your money back if you're not pleased with the product. And this is the one thing that Richard does at High Expectation, and they treat you really well. He's at 8759 South Federal Highway in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34952. Again, that's Richard at High Expectation. If you're a veteran, definitely check them out. They'll take good care of you. Tell them Dogface sent you.
My hats go off to Richard and to the people at MOVE. If you can help Dogface in any way whatsoever, God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, because I don't mean to poke fun, but I know Dogface.
No, do it.
When Dogface was basically living in the streets. There's no other way to put it. And it was a rough show, and I love Dog very, very much. You know that, buddy. I am, you know, however we get to where we're going in a safe manner is all good by me. I don't care how
that's
you get sober, what you do to take care of yourself, as long as it works for you. And that's the reason why we don't discuss religion, politics, or any of the crazy social bullshit that goes on in the world. We keep it light here. And we are all about recovery and just making sure people have the best chance to live the best life. And for the changes I've seen in you, buddy, keep doing what you're doing, and I'll do the same.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we got to take care. You know, that's funny that we did the show, like I said, about taking care of yourself. When Squid and I were in Stand Down together, which I'm hoping some of the fellas are listening now, I came into a little bit of money. And I went right over to Squid's apartment. I was like, hey, man, we've been here 3 weeks. I don't know what I'm going out of my mind. Let's go get a mani-pedi. So I have a Escalade come pick us up to take us over to the place to go get our nails done. And I wind up getting a tattoo and then show up back at the halfway house. And I think we got in some trouble for that. I really took the heat on that one, I think. Because the rule was you had to take somebody with you, and I did take somebody with me, but I think it was just the wrong person.
I guess so. It was you need to be there 6 weeks before taking off, but we couldn't resist. And a mani and a pedi is a great way to take care of yourself. Give yourself a little break, a massage, whatever.
Right.
It's all good. As long as you're
I actually got a massage that day, I believe. I did. Yeah, I did get a massage. I got a massage, a tattoo, and a mani pedi. Yeah.
The same what massage that Robert Kraft got.
No shame in my game, bro. I love Asian women.
Oh, yeah. It was the Magic Butterfly massage parlor.
Magic Butterfly. I love it.
Yeah. Asian delight.
That's so funny, man. But you got to take care of yourself. And I actually, when we caught heat for that, I was sitting there with the director and one of the social workers, and she goes, what made you think that this was okay? I said, well, you told me to take care of myself. I was just taking care of myself. And they basically told me to get out of the office. I was able to stay, but not very much longer.
You were just carving out some me time, which is very important. We all need to. Seriously, though, we do. We need to unplug, put down the social media, the cell phone, whatever, and take a breath and shut your email off and recharge yourself. I know I can
absolutely
get wrapped up in work. I start to work during the day, and the next thing I know, it's 3:00, and I haven't even stood up and walked around. Not every day, but a lot of days. Those are the days
sure
when I leave work. You know, you leave work and you're tired, you're hungry, you're irritable, and you are setting yourself up for taking a drink or using a drug.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, you got to – one of the big keys is taking care of yourself. One thing I do every morning is I sit here with either a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and I meditate for 10 or 15 minutes on what I want my life to look like in the future, what I want for myself, what I want for my family, and what I want for others. And it seems to be working. They say that that's kind of the secret. If you can manifest it in your mind, you can manifest it to happen. I mean, we came up with this idea, 2 years ago, and we're finally just getting to it?
Yep. Yep. I was
so
thinking about
time.
That today. Yeah, I was talking with somebody who's interested in advertising, and they want to know how long we've been at it. And I said 2 years. And he was like, well, I just started finding out about the show a couple months ago. I said, you just don't turn on a show immediately. Now, we had some bumps in the road where we couldn't get together and make it happen as quick as we would have liked to. But at least we did it right, and we're within our little bit of a budget we do have, and we're making it happen the right way. So, we got here. However we got here, same as recovery. However you get there, whether it takes a few
That's
years.
It.
No. And I know I took it the hard way. I have I'm writing a book. It's called The Hell and Back a Dozen Times, and it talks about the 12 times that I fell on my face trying to stay sober and I had relapsed. And it's the worst feeling in the world. It's you were so mad at yourself. You beat yourself up. It's the worst feeling. Am I right or am I right, dog? I mean, how hard?
No, you're absolutely right, man. When you relapse and you're back stuck in that grind, it's really a terrible place to be. I talk to people who are actually still struggling with addiction all the time, and I tell them I don't envy them, because coming back from that road is not easy. You know, once you're wrapped up in the daily calls or the daily going to the store to get your alcohol, that's just not a good place to be. And like we said, you're not taking care of yourself when you're doing that. And that's one of the key points that's been big in my recovery is taking care of myself and taking care of others. Because I notice the more I focus on others and less on myself, the more things that happen for me. It's funny how life works.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And you make a good point when you're out speaking to others and we're out together doing it as well. The one thing we never do, Dogface and I, is beat somebody up and say, what were you thinking or why did you do that? These people, when they come back from a relapse, it's horrible. The last thing they need is somebody barking at them, telling them all the mistakes they made, because no one's going to beat them up worse than they're already beating themselves up.
Exactly.
You know,
you're exactly right.
Ride.
And nobody can beat us up more than ourselves. You know, I know that my addiction for a long time had to do with low self-esteem. I just didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe that I could be the things that I thought in my mind, that there was no way. And impartial to things that happened when I was a child.
Yep.
And also things that happened as I grew up. You know, you tend to believe those things that were said to you. I was actually watching an interesting movie today on Netflix, and it made me think about you. It's about a writer who had a terrible childhood, and the name of it is Adderall Diaries.
Hmm.
It has who's the guy in it? I can't remember his name. Anyway, it's this guy who struggled in life with his father, who beat him constantly and put him down. And then he is in the middle of reading his book in a library in front of people, saying how his father's dead. And his father stands up in the middle of everybody and says, I'm not dead. You're playing a victim. This is all BS. And he actually gets his thing pulled from the publishers because his dad's not dead. And he has to go back and rewrite. And then he finally sits down with his father one day face to face in a hotel, and he goes, you know, you get up there and portray me as this monster, but did you ever think about what role you played to make these things happen? And then as he starts thinking about his life, he realizes that he was the villain sometimes, and that he's been playing this, you know, this victim. And he was a victim in some of it, of course, but some of it he perpetuated. You know, and it's a really neat movie. If you get a chance to check her out, Adderall Diaries, you'll really like it.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
And it's not a series. It's an actual, it's a one, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah, because I'm a binge-watching junkie. But you know what? I don't even watch regular TV anymore at all, because I won't deal with a commercial. I'll find something, a series to start on Netflix or Amazon. And that's another way to take care of yourself, too, is to veg out, man. Binge-watch some series on Netflix. But before I forget, I want to get back to the trauma you suffered as a child. And you know some of the stuff that we both, not just as a child, military included, some of the shit we saw. It does, for whatever reason, the people who experience it, whether it was their fault or not, they have a lot of shame and guilt. And that's why alcohol and drugs feel so good, because day after day you're in pain. You, like you had mentioned, you didn't really have any self-respect or self-care, and you just are really just looking to beat yourself up. and
yeah,
because you think you're the bad person. But it does get it out of hand when you become the victim, and then you just start to build it up. Oh, this went bad, that went bad, my day sucks.
Right.
I might as well life sucks without drugs or alcohol, so I might as well use drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
The wrong way.
And one thing that really helped me too is perspective. Like when I was a child, all I heard was stories about my father from uncles and my mom. And my mom's stories were always bad. I mean, my uncle's stories were always good. But as you know, my father's been in prison since 6 years old, 87, something like that. He actually gets out this January. So that's pretty exciting.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, man, he'll finally be out. And I used to think, you know, oh, man, I don't have a real father. I have a stepdad. But I thought so great of my father, you know, because he did all these things that I thought were great at the time, which weren't. My point is not perpetuating the cycle. I don't want my daughter to feel that way and also be missing in her life and her how to tell her friends, yeah, my dad's in prison or my dad's in jail or even worse, my dad's dead. But I had a lot of anger inside for my father when I was younger until I grew up and became an addict. And finally, I think it was like my second or third stint in rehab, I wrote him a letter explaining to him that I finally understood that he wasn't choosing the drug over me. And I understood how he went to prison and why these things happened, because I finally could see for myself where they took me. It wasn't that I didn't love my daughter. It wasn't that I didn't love anybody else. It's just the drug had a hold of me. And that was actually a pretty freeing thing when I finally wrote to him and told him, hey, I understand. You know, I'm not judging, but I do understand where it comes from. And then again, if you don't take care of yourself, that's where you end up, in prison. So,
yeah.
More to the story.
No, but I bet that was freeing for you to forgive him. And not only that, but because you went through what you went through, you're better to understand what it is. You understand me like no one else when it comes to pain and trauma and beating yourself up and
right.
You know, just the whole deal. It's awful. But if I talk to another family member or maybe even a cousin or something and they're like, man, dude, you wuss. Why don't you just quit? And it's just like, man, I would love to. My brain goes in a different direction, and it tells me I'm going to die if I don't drink. And
that
as crazy it sounds, I'm sorry, you know. People
well, your
like
body's watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your body, your brain turns, starts not creating what you need because you're creating it. And I had my mother pleading with a doctor at the VA one time saying, why can't this end? And he goes, well, you have to understand, your son has been on the substance for the past 10 years. And when he doesn't have that substance, the brain starts saying, hey, what's going on? What are you doing to get this? What, you know, well, you know, we're used to this at this time. This is what we need. He said, your son doesn't have poor willpower. Your son doesn't have, he makes poor choices, of course, but it's partly in his brain and his makeup. So you have to be, you know, a little patient.
Yeah. When you said 10 years, you reminded me of something I saw today. I was doing a little research for our show, and I was reading about the opioid crisis, which is all over the place, and it's easy fodder for us to use during our show. But somehow I got switched over. I was looking at a YouTube page, and it was mothers who were strung out for 10 years or 12 years on heroin, and they get pregnant, and they're trying to stop, and the therapist it's like a special kind of therapist who works just with pregnant women who have addiction. And it was horrible, man. They said the best that they could do for some is give them Suboxone or Subutex. And so they didn't kill themselves or use a dirty needle and make themselves sicker. It's still a synthetic opioid, but the babies were still being born. They're still being born addicted to the synthetic opioid. And I had to change the channel. I had to take a look at it, but at least their therapist was on their side when the reporters were questioned, like, are you nuts? You're pregnant. Are you nuts? And I'm not condoning drugs and childbirth by any means, but not even close, but it's hard, man. It's hard.
Well, I had a buddy of mine. He was on methadone for years, and we were working at a dealership together, and he says, "You know, my girlfriend's pregnant." He says, "I don't know what to do because we're both on opiates. We're both on methadone." And when she went to the clinic and told them that she was pregnant, she sat with a doctor, and they actually told her it was safer to stay on it than to get off of it at the time when she was pregnant because it would throw her body into such turmoil. So she stayed on it, and I guess DCF was chomping at the bit to get to them when the child was born, but somehow, some way, I don't know, there was no medication found in the kid's blood, and they were not born addicted to anything. So I don't know how methadone works or what it does, but supposedly it works great for them. I mean, and like I said, I'm not advocating it. All I'm saying is that if you are addicted to something and you're pregnant, sometimes the lesser of the two evils is better. That's all.
Yes, I get it. I get it. And this therapist that was working with these women was saying exactly the same thing. I don't want them out in the streets using needles or dirty needles or anything else. But she did bring up a point. There was research done that about 50 to 55% of the babies of who the mothers who were using synthetic opiates to get through their pregnancy, about 50 to 55% did have some withdrawal. The babies had some withdrawal symptoms.
Right,
So,
which
I
is
mean, the
sad.
good news is 50% of the babies were born without withdrawal symptoms. The bad news is 50% of the babies were born with some withdrawal symptoms. But I guess, too, you brought up if they go through physical pain and torture and sickness, they could lose the baby if they don't do anything
Yes.
at all.
Yeah, they can lose the baby. Yeah, it's actually pretty sad what people go through. You know, once you're on it, man, you're on it in some cases. I know business people. I have family members that have businesses that are millionaires that are stuck on pain medication. You know what I mean? But they don't, you know, they've run their business, they've done all the right things, so you know, it's different for different strokes for different folks, like always, like anything else in life.
I can hear the listener out there going, "Well, that's great, dummy, but why don't you just do this? Don't start taking the drug." Well,
Yeah,
that would be perfect.
right.
That's a perfect, that would be awesome if everybody could just not take a pain medication with a broken leg and realize when it's cut off that the only way to replace that is now that their brain's completely saturated with opioids is to find street drugs to so that they don't crawl up in a ball and die.
Absolutely.
There's a million different points of view to this.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when I was younger, my mom was big on take your medicine, listen to the doctor. So when I came home and they started prescribing me these meds, I actually had family members on top of me. "Hey, did you take your medication this morning?" "Oh, well, of course I did." I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I didn't know it was going to lead to me having a needle in my arm. I didn't know any of that. I was taking medication the way it was prescribed, the way you were supposed to take it in the beginning, you know, and then it formed into this monster.
My first psychiatrist, when I told him I was having depression and anxiety, their go-to was Xanax and Ambien for sleep at night, and I
Of
did that for
course.
a while. But talk about an addiction, man. That stuff will get you hooked too, just like anything
Well,
else if you let it. So,
uh-huh.
that
Any
was pretty.
benzo.
They're horrible to come off of. That and alcohol are the two things you can die from coming off of withdrawal.
Yeah, they're
Heroin,
the only
don't you
two.
want? Yeah, heroin won't necessarily kill you from withdrawal, but you'll feel like you're dying, that's for sure. Or you wish you were
That's the
dead,
thing,
even
like
worse.
exactly. You feel like you want to die, but you can't. You can't sleep, you can't eat, and then there's the other side of it. If you do too much, you're gonna die as well. So there's like it's like a double-edged sword with that stuff, you know?
That's why we want to talk about how to be kind to yourself, because even if you have a day or two, that's a day or two you didn't have clean and sober, and we want to help you stay that way. If you want to call us off the air, you can reach Dog Face and Squid at 561-221-2268, or you can text us to that number as well. Also, if you want to call in live, 929-477-1661. We're going to take a breather, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the many different ways to take care of yourself so that you can maintain your sobriety. And even if you aren't someone who's been known to abuse or use drugs and alcohol, these are all good ways that you can take care of yourself and keep it that way. We'll be right back with you in just a few moments. And you're with the Dog Face and Squid Show, and we love having you here.
Because it seems like it was fun.
It was the cool thing to do.
The cool thing to do was to get high, go to parties.
Growing up, you know, you're struggling.
Couldn't deal with life.
So I didn't have to deal with life.
I wouldn't listen to anyone.
I was stubborn.
Like, as a rebellious thing.
This is what the rebel kids were doing.
I just wanted to see what it was like.
I started experimenting with it.
Experimenting with friends.
First tried it because I was bored.
I was always up to try something new.
You know, when I was growing up, we had this program. It was just say no, just say no.
People are just saying no, but they're not saying why.
It's like telling a person no, and then they go do it.
Sparked my interest on drugs.
I knew that they were bad, and I always heard about this addiction, but I didn't know what it meant.
That's probably the number one reason why I did drugs in the first place.
Everybody, this is the Dog Face and Squid Show. We are coming to you live from the East Coast of these United States to our guests listening overseas. Thank you for listening in or downloading our podcast. We appreciate your support of the show, and we are talking about how to be kind to yourself in recovery and the importance of that so that you don't go back out and use or misuse or abuse drugs and alcohol. And back to those people you mentioned earlier at the move, I want you to, if you can talk about that for a minute there, Dogface, I want to get the word out because I know they are helping you and we need to help as many people as we can.
Yeah, Move. They just opened up in Wellington. They're a brand new dispensary. They have more products than any other dispensary I've been to. And their prices are pretty good, especially for the strength they use. And like I said, I was standing there talking to one of the people helping me, Miss Lopez. And then this girl walks out, and it's lo and behold, somebody I went to high school with. I believe her name was Stephanie. I think so. I hope so. If not, I'm going to hear about it. But, yeah, they're awesome, man. They give great veterans discounts. They are in Wellington, so they are a little pricey because they're going after that clientele. But, like I said, their products are amazing. And hopefully we can do some more with them in the future because I was talking to Steffi about that.
If they can help you, my man, then God bless them. They're doing something right because you were way out there. And, those are good people, and they're supporting our show, so we need to support them. Another friend of the show or friends of the show are Socially Magnetic Clips, and we love them as well. They do 15 to 20-second short or brief advertisements, 15-second clips that attract attention and capture the essence of your services. And they can adapt a video clip for any occasion, holiday, specials, offers, or promotions. And you should find samples of their clips. They actually did one for Dogface and Squid. It's up on their YouTube page at Socially Magnetic Clips. You can find them there. And also their website, sociallymagneticclips.com. They are totally awesome, and their videos will blow your mind. Thank you to our friends at Socially Magnetic Clips. So, Dog, I want to get back to one thing that I thought was really important that I was thinking about. We talked about carving out some me time and binge-watching on Netflix. But this other one I don't really like. It's somebody that I found online that a psychologist had mentioned. Acknowledge your feelings and emotions. Be kind to yourself means allowing yourself to feel whenever it is you are feeling at that moment. And I don't like the way I feel sometimes. That's why I used to drink, is to change the way I felt. And I don't really like dealing with emotions. And it's been a struggle for me, to say the least.
Yeah, not many of us do, man. I don't think even normal people like dealing with emotions. We just figured out something to do instead of the emotions. That's all it is, I think.
Yeah, you know, I don't care what the feeling is. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go out and numb it. But that's one I struggle with. And if you've struggled out there, our listeners, you're not alone. You can we commiserate with you. Another way to take care of yourself that I found at the same psychologist page, I'll have to find it and put it up on our website because it was actually really good advice, is when you – another thing I struggle with is giving yourself recognition. If that just means that you haven't had a drink or a drug in the last hour, then you need to be proud of yourself. You need to start somewhere because we know, as we mentioned before, when you relapse, how bad you beat yourself up. And in the same respect, I would like to turn that around and say, you know what? I'm going to build myself up. I'm going to give myself where credit due and where, you know, like you, Dog, you work a lot of hard hours, and I'm proud of you for that. And you never give yourself credit. You always say, I feel like I'm not doing enough.
Yeah, I do always feel that way. Yeah, but some things put it in perspective. Like yesterday I was driving with somebody and they were pointing out what I spend as far as like cigarettes go and my medications and things like that. And it was like I'll just use a number. So let's say he said it was $75 a day or $50 a day. I said compared to $750 a day or, you know, let's get this in perspective. And he goes, okay, touche. I get it. You know, everything's, you know, in comparison to what it was before. But this is also somebody that didn't know me in my addiction and didn't know how I was before. So I said, maybe if you knew who I was before and how I was, you would see the change, but you only know the change. So now you're trying to change the change, and now we're getting way too deep. So,
but you're absolutely
four
right.
Wall breaks.
And who's to say a week, a month, or a year from now, you haven't even talked to your doctor and have some of those prescriptions either lowered or taken off the table altogether? You know, I mean, give yourself – that's all – that is giving yourself a break right there, saying, I know today I'm doing what my doctor's prescribed for me, and that's good enough, and move on, you know. And I think
– right.
You know – you drink or drug for so long, we rarely give ourselves a break for a long, long time, you know, and
absolutely.
We feel like, you know, that we're not good enough. We've been putting ourselves down for so long. It's tough to crawl out of that hole. We feel guilty.
Of course.
A lot of negative self-talk, you know, labeling ourselves, you know, as bad, you know, it just goes on and on.
Yeah, you just got to, like I said before, you got to change the way you think about yourself and change the way you think about the world. I used to have a big problem with not listening to people. I guess that's a big shock to everybody, but I didn't know how to shut up and listen. You know, maybe that's why I'm so good on the radio, but I had a hard time with that. So sometimes I try to sit back and actually, when someone's talking to me, I'll repeat the words in my head so that I am not preparing to talk and missing anything. So there's little things that I've had to do to train myself.
Yeah, you still do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I still talk over people. Absolutely. All the time. Yeah. Sometimes
yeah.
I'll be talking so much that I'll even mess myself up on a business deal or something like that.
We all have our faults.
Yeah, I was doing a job this weekend with I was hanging out with those guys from New World Status, Lunatic and Snow, who are Case and David, actually. Hanging out with them this weekend, and we were doing something, and they also do construction on the side as well, and we were splitting up a job, and I was giving away like 10% of what he was trying to give me, and I kept saying, no, we're doing it like this. And he goes, bro, you're making less money. Like, would you please listen? And I finally had to slow down and say, oh, okay, I see it. So, yeah, it's those little things.
There's always
things. And they're going to be great, man. Yeah, they're coming hard soon, man. The New World Status is an up-and-coming artist. Like I said before, they're not signed yet. So if we can be a part of that, that'd be great. They tried to send us some music, but some of their music is not appropriate for what we're trying to do, so I asked them to revisit, maybe send us something different. But they're a really good group, man. They've been through a lot of struggles, and they're just like you and me, Squid. They're trying to make a name for themselves in the world, and it's slow going. But I hope you and I can be a part of their process.
Yeah, I've seen them give us shout outs and retweets, and I appreciate that, fellas, especially Case. Snow is a good man, and he's been trying to help us any which way he can. He, from what I understand, hasn't had some of the similar issues, but we all want to do the one thing we have in common with them is they want to help other people, and that's
exactly
really cool.
Well, you know what the
you
difference
know?
Was for Snowman? He has family members that were addicts, and he suffered other things in his childhood as well, and he saw the road that these things took you, and that was enough for him to turn away. Now, I wish that I had enough sense to do that. I mean, the kid's only 29 years old, and he's really smart, and he really has a good head on his shoulders, and I actually worked with him while I was in my addiction. I would be in – we worked together for 2.5 years. I would actually be in the truck, you know, using – while he was out there working, and he's saved my butt. I don't know why I wouldn't really call it saving, but he's covered for me many a times when I was, you know, not right. I ultimately ended up losing the job, of course, but it just goes to show you, you know, even when I was with him at times, he'd be like, man, what are you doing to yourself? Why are you doing this? I've had so many family members go down this road, and I even looked at him a couple times and said, man, I can't understand why you haven't got wrapped up in it. He goes, because I saw what it did to people, and I wanted no part of it. So, but he's he's been through his own struggles as well.
Yeah. No, and that brings up a good point, because family members also deserve and need to take care of themselves as well. They need to get a break from the monotony and all the issues and trouble and the things that go on when they're trying to help their son or their daughter or their brother or even their parents in some cases. Sometimes you got to walk away, take some time, whether it be an hour or a week or a month away. You do what you can, and then you really need to take care of yourself, because what will happen is you're not going to do yourself any good or the person who's suffering an addiction any good, because you're not taking care of yourself. You know, it just could be something as simple as taking 15 minutes and do a meditation like Dog said he does in the morning. Or taking a whole day, maybe doing a cleanse or some nutritional help. And, you know, just eating well, or at least eating at all.
Yeah, eating right's a big key. I met a nutritionist who actually was a gold medal winner, but she was unfortunately a crackhead. And she has been clean now for 30 years. And she says one of the big problems that she sees with people is their blood sugar gets all messed up, even if they're not diabetic. And that can lead to a relapse, because like you said, when you get off work, you're discontent, you're hungry, your blood sugar's low. And that's usually the time when something's going to happen, you know, because you're filling that void. And let's see what you'll fill with, either with food or with other, you know?
Yeah, that's true. The sugars can mimic withdrawal symptoms when you eat too many candy bars. And what do you want to do when you stop drinking alcohol? Eat a lot of candy bars.
It starts
to help with it. I don't know if it's dopamine gets released or the brain chemicals change and makes you feel good for a little while, but you do have what's called the sugar crash. And but I'll say this. And when you're drinking and you're doing drugs and that's all you're thinking about, you're not eating whatsoever at all. And so it's bad enough to have the person in addiction who's basically slowly killing themselves to have the family members start to, you know, get torn apart too. It's not good for anybody. And I feel bad for my family and my friends who back in the, you know, in that time, had to deal with me. And that's another show there, another topic we can go on and on about some of the things we did. I have some stories. Actually, they're funny now. What is it? Tragedy and time equals comedy after a while.
I've always said that. Yes.
Yeah. It certainly is.
That's like my catchphrase in recovery. You know, tragedy plus time equals comedy. That's how I come up with some of this stuff. It actually brings me to a funny story. I was at a psychiatrist was actually conducting a group therapy session. She had four young mothers in there and their small children. And she said to them, "You all have obsessions," as she observed. To the first mother, she said, "You're obsessed with eating. You even named your daughter Candy." He turned to the second mom. He goes, "You're obsessed with money. Again, it manifests itself in your child's name, Penny." Then he turned to the third mother, and he said, your obsession is alcohol, and your child's name is Brandy." So before he could even get to the last girl, at this point, the fourth mother got up. She took her little boy by the hand and whispered, "Okay, come on, Dick. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. Let's go pick up Peter and Willie from school and get dinner."
So that
was actually
happened.
Pretty hilarious. Yeah, it did happen.
That's good. Speaking of laughter is a good medicine, we're going to be talking about that Thursday. I'm challenging Dog to bring it with the humor Thursday, because it's going to be all about how laughter is the best medicine. But I was talking – remember we were doing Florida's Funniest Felons, and I met this guy. This was not in the papers. I met this guy at a – I won't say where. I won't even go there. But he had been smoking crack and a lot of it. And after a day or two, and his father was living in the house with him, and he kept telling him, "You know, son, you know, you need to knock it off. You need to knock it off." And he started taking a hammer to the drywall and opening it up, because there was people inside the walls in the house talking to him, and he couldn't find them. After like hours of doing this, his father said he didn't want to call the cops because he knew his son was going to jail. but he had to do it just to save his own life because he was trying to tear the electrical box out of the wall because he knew for sure there were people behind that. And what had happened, the police showed up and they said, listen, put the hammer down. We're going to take you to get you some help. And he said, just give me three more minutes tops, and I will have those people out of the wall, and you will see what I'm doing is true. There are people inside there. Well, they got him to drop the hammer, and I don't know if he went to treatment or jail, but it's just a damn good story. He was laughing about it at the time, but it is a tragedy, and it is tragic for him and his father when it happened. But you add some time, and tragedy becomes comedy.
It is. It's funny as hell. And then for anybody who's listening in the West Palm Beach, Florida area, anybody who has done anything down here knows what the homing in is on Federal Highway. If you've ever been kicked out of a halfway house, if you've ever went on a run, you usually wind up at the homing in. Now, unfortunately, I am not allowed at the homing in anymore. It's one of the nicest places I've ever been kicked out of. They actually have my picture at the front desk saying, please do not come here ever again. I dismantled their ceiling one night looking for ninjas, and I swore there were ninjas up there. And after that, they asked me not to come back anymore.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's awesome. We got a call.
But that
from...
leads in. Oh, go ahead.
No. It leads into what? Go.
No. Go ahead. I want to take the caller. This is interesting.
Oh, yeah. We have a caller from Palm Beach County. Okay, go ahead,
nice.
Caller. You're on the air with Dogface and Squid. How are you this evening? Caller.
Hello, caller.
Where are you calling from? What is your name? Anyway, that was awesome. Maybe he'll call back. Call us back when you get a better phone there, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. The call just dropped. Damn it. All right. So it brought me to a new point. Can we go into the segment where we do the funny stories? Because I'm really excited about mine. It's hilarious, man. Okay, let me get my notes here. Let's pull it up. Okay, and everything that I talk about, I just want everybody to know, is from Florida. This all happens in our beautiful state, which I believe it. So what happened is a Florida man attacked a mattress after he went into a jealous fit of rage after smoking meth. So his name is Felipe Aquitando. He thought his girlfriend was cheating, according to law enforcement. So this happened in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. A Florida man smoked meth, then attacked a bedroom mat, a bedpost, and his bare hands, thinking that a man was hiding inside it. The Occlusa County Sheriff's Office says deputies were dispatched after 1 a.m. on Friday. Imagine that. After this guy's girlfriend, who initially refused to leave the bedroom, was able to get out and call for help. According to law enforcement, she told authorities that he thought she was cheating on him with a man in the mattress. Then he proceeds to stab the mattress with the bedpost and rip it apart with his hands, at one point setting fire to it. When deputies arrested Felipe, he's 37, same age as me, they say he told them he was fighting the man in the mattress and holding him down until the authorities arrived. But the man slipped out just as they came into the room. No man has been identified, and investigators say Kiendo admitted to smoking meth. He's been charged with domestic violence related to false imprisonment and also possession of drug paraphernalia. Thankfully, his girlfriend was not hurt. But wow. I mean, that hits home for me because, like I said, I've taken apart ceilings thinking people were up there. But thinking there's a guy in the mattress, wow, it's hard to impress me, but Felipe, you've impressed me, brother. You've impressed me. That's a new form of being insecure. Let me tell you, he's in the mattress. So what do you got, Squid? Let's see yours.
That was me, man. That was an actual real story. Was my crackhead buddy tore the walls out of his dad's house?
Yeah.
But,
yeah. These are both real stories, man. It's crazy. It's not really crazy because, like I said, I've done kind of the same things. I've been out in the woods chasing ninjas at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've actually fired a gun at them thinking they were going past, but neither here nor there. So what story you got for us, Squid?
All right. I don't have one. I had I was using the one for the crack addict.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's a true story, and it happened to me, so I didn't have to go into the newspapers or the websites to find out. If you just look around in Florida, you're going to find a story that will blow your mind, unfortunately for us. But that's Florida's how people know us.
Absolutely. That's our signature. Is crazy stories that come out of the news. It's unbelievable some of the stuff that goes on here. I mean, I don't know if this is for the rest of the county, the rest of the country, but when you go into Walmart here, they actually have videos playing to tell people that they may have been caught in fraud that are standing in line about to send money. Like, one out of every six phone calls they made last year, they were able to collect money from people over one. You know what? I don't want to say the number because I don't know exactly, but it's a crazy amount. Like, I just can't believe that people actually fall for this. What I like to do, and which I need to record, is I guess whoever had my phone number before was a New Jersey policeman, and of course he owns a home. He owns a home. He's got credit cards, and I constantly get phone calls from these guys that are Indian telling me their name is David Chesler and that I owe $728 or they're going to come arrest me. Now, keep in mind, I'm not even the guy they're calling for, but sometimes I'll keep them on the line for an hour and a half. I come back, have a conversation with them, tell them to hold on, somebody's here. I act like I'm doing something in the background, and then at the end, I always say to them, do you really think people are that stupid? Do you realize how long you've been on the phone trying to get this money from me? And then, of course, they curse me out in Indian and hang up. But they always call back, so it's always a great show for the next time. I need to start recording them. It's pretty great.
We have a Google voice number to the show, which is 561-221-2268, and that comes directly to Squid and I. And I was on the Google Voice app, and they have this feature now where you can – I totally forgot where I was going with it. But you can block the callers, but if it's a spammer and they call back more than once and you label that – particular number as spam, a recording will pick up and talk to the person.
Yes, they have apps for that now. Yes, they have apps for that. Go ahead.
And after you've been on the phone for 5 minutes or whatever of this recording, it says, aren't you proud of yourself that you just spent 5 minutes listening to a recording and maybe you should find another job?
Hey, man, some of those recordings are believable. I've been on the other end of those lines and got those recordings, and you'd think you're talking to a real person. Because they pick up and they go, so you go, hi, is this Debbie? And they'll go, yes. And they answer in a real voice. And then you say, hey, Debbie, I'm excited to call you today. And then while you're talking, they'll say, That's interesting. And you'll get through your whole spiel and then realize that you were talking to nobody. So, yeah, it does work.
I saw that on a sitcom, or I think it was Frasier or something, where they changed his message to actually talk to the person calling in until there was a theme behind it or some reason they were doing it. But we, after that phenomenal little segment, have to wrap it up. But we're still available to help you if you are in crisis. For veterans, you can call the crisis line at 800-273-8255 and press 1. Or if you're in severe trouble, dial 911 and get help. The Dog Face and Squid helpline is 561-221-2268. And that about wraps it up for me. What else you got, Dog Face?
Nothing else, man. I just want to thank everybody for listening out there and bringing us worldwide. This thing can only get bigger, and we appreciate all your support. Everybody at High Expectations, everybody at MOVE, everybody who at New World Status helping us, Socially Magnetic Clips. I could go on and on. We really appreciate all the support, guys. Have a good night.
No doubt about it. Love you, brother.
Love you, too.